Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. We're three women, new to the world of professional wrestling, and what we can't figure out from context, we're making up as we go. We have friends who are better at learning. They're not on this podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And I thought we could start the week out with a little question that I think has been on everybody's minds recently. Why are the men of wrestling so wet?
They're so wet. So wet. It's genuinely psychotic.
They're so wet. They get themselves so wet on purpose. It's like sometimes you'll see someone like a little while before their match and they're not wet. And then right before their match, they're very wet.
Clearly a deliberate choice on their part.
Clearly a deliberate choice. I've asked myself a lot of questions. Does being wet help you to wrestle good? Do they think that being wet looks better on camera? Because the reason it comes up so often in my mind as a question is I would say no. Yeah. I don't like when they wet as much.
No. Not at all. There were so many of them this week in particular. Hangman was wet on every show that he was on. He was wet on Elevation and he was wet on Dynamite. Bill Collier was wet. Matt Hardy, wet.
And Matt Hardy, the man I least want to see wet in his chinos or whatever.
I don't need that. No.
I was trying to think about it. And is it because, like, they want to be like
the whole podcast just to be listing wet men?
Wet men, yeah.
And shows on which the men were wet.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
All the shows, and on each one, men were wet.
Yeah, right. Right. And I was trying to reason it through. And I was wondering whether it was like a Michael Nakazawa oil thing. Like if they're sleek and they're wet, then they're harder to grapple.
I haven't found that with normal water wetness as much.
You are more slippery when wet than when dry.
Yeah,
certainly,
but not
as wet as with as
but
slippery
not
as
like
oil.
Forever. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of a grippy quality forever. Sometimes.
Do you mean like that they're gonna dry out over the?
They could dry out over the course of the match.
That's the concern.
Maybe
it's not a concern. It's just conjecture. This is a scientific conversation.
You just think that it'd be more effective to do something like oil rather than water.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not recommending that either. I also don't want the men to be oiled. And I guess I mean,
sometimes they are. They're
They put all sorts of stuff on their bodies.
There are some interesting beauty standards going on in wrestling in general.
Absolutely,
yeah.
There are.
Yeah. Well, I actually Googled this question when we were making up this document because I was like, I wonder if there's an answer to this of why the men are wet. And I found definitive answers from a Google of why are wrestling men so wet.
I can't be too clear about how nervous I am to hear what you're going to say.
It's,
but okay.
There were several articles and several Reddit threads. This is a question that others have wondered often, it seems like. And so people have written some stuff to enlighten them. So there's several reasons that came up in these different sites. One was aesthetic. So they were like, they look tougher and better when they're wet. Although this was illustrated by long-haired wrestlers with wet hair and then that same wrestler with dry, floofy hair. And the floofy hair does look worse.
Yeah, but
I don't know
like,
if these articles were aware that like there's an you can have dry hair that's not floofy.
You can style your hair. And I agree that it's not something that all the men of wrestling are in touch with, but...
Right.
Sure, yeah. Many of them could use a Corson.
A grooming consultant.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Matt Jackson could do a straight hair tutorial. Jungle Boy could do a curly hair tutorial. We could just really get some, like,
Jungle Boy's really upped his game lately. Yeah. I feel like he posted a picture to Instagram very lately that was like, oh my, like babies learn.
Yeah. Someone gave him a tip or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're on TV every week.
But he has like a really nice, not to get into it, he has a really nice natural curl that looks like pretty good when it's a little wild. So he's been getting away with stuff for a long time.
Oh, sure.
Because of that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think
so there's two other reasons why the men are wet. So there's the aesthetic reason. Reason number two is that allegedly, and this is obviously only true for long-haired wrestlers, but allegedly long wet hair is better for selling, because if you get hit and then you like move your head real dramatically and your hair your wet hair flies around and it makes it look more dramatic than dry hair because it's heavier.
Okay. Huh.
And apparently also it's good for calling spots and stuff, saying like talking to one another, because they can hide their faces behind their wet hair. So.
Okay. Well, make it make sense for my sweet son, Orange Cassidy
almost loves to
no hair and loves to be wet more than any other boy in the world.
He's not selling anything or hiding anything with
his
just
wet
hair.
He just likes wetness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the third reason is to cool off, apparently, because the lights are very hot on TV, and so getting wet makes you cooler for the lights.
But aren't they going to sweat anyway? Are they worried they won't sweat enough?
Well, also, apparently, it hides the sweat. So, like, if you start wet, then when you start sweating, like, it doesn't look like you're all gross and sweaty. It just looks like you're still wet.
I don't object to the men being gross and sweaty, I guess. So, the women are not getting as wet, though. So, just found out about hair product, and they're like, I can make my hair swish without being
and
wet.
I guess they're also not worried about hiding the way they call matches and all of the other reasons. They figured it out. And the men have crutches.
Interesting. Women are wrestling at a higher level than men, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I hate it so much, because when they stay wet, it makes me uncomfortable. But then half of them, like our dear son.
Apparently there was one wrestler who would always, his hair would dry over the course of a match, and then it would be like extremely floofy straight out of his head.
Hangman does that. Hangman gets his little...
Yeah. It's a risk, it's apparently, sweet. Of... wetting your hair.
And
yeah.
Orange Cassidy also usually halfway through the match gets a little cowlick when he's too wet. His hair dries real stupid.
Little dummy.
Christian Cage's hair also went real stupid in the middle of his match. It's like, oh, the cool guy haircut where it's short on the sides and long on top, like it really risks you a straight up cowlick once you get beat up a lot.
You gotta be careful with that. Yeah.
You gotta watch it.
Tony Khan, hire us. We are beauty consultants.
Yeah, we're willing to look at it.
Well, I guess we can get into some of the wrestling that people actually did, regardless of how wet they were or not this week. This week on, was it Dark Elevation that we had our little Britt Baker squash match?
Speaking of wet.
I love it.
Producer Marjorie, if you could pipe in a little drum line there, that would be fantastic.
If you could also rate this episode explicit.
Britt Baker was amazing in that little squash match. Like,
so
hot. Unreal.
Yeah, great.
I usually don't get the point of squash matches, to be honest with you.
That's
something that
I did a little Googling about.
With
these two little hands of mine, typed it right into the old Google machine. I said, why squash match? And the answer that I received was usually...
We really are gentle giants finding out about the cruel world.
Why
wrestle men wet?
You know, I think it's good. We have naturally inquisitive minds, which in child is considered absolutely a positive. And in an adult, too, probably. An adult woman, sure. What I found was that it's usually to make the heel a heel look big and tough. Which makes sense, and actually was, I mean, it made perfect sense. It's not like it was like, oh, wow, that's opened my eyes, but it did kind of illuminate for me. There was that one squash match that was Kenny Omega versus Sonny Kiss before Kenny turned heel.
Yeah.
That at the time I was like, I don't fully get this. I know that like Kenny is behaving like he's doing kind of a bad behavior thing, but I don't like completely get it. So now I'm like, oh, that actually was like a good signaling of the heel turn. Like, I'm like, oh, right.
Well, a lot of times I feel like for me, squash matches come out of nowhere where, like, they have their very long entrances. Everyone takes 10 minutes to get to the ring. And then the squash, the match starts, and then it ends 30 seconds later. And I feel like, I'm like, what are we doing here? But this one was great because Britt got to the ring, grabbed a mic, and was like, this is going to be a squash match. I'm going to murder you. And then she did.
Yeah. She was being so funny. I mean, when she's just like pacing around and she's being like, I'm the big star. She's the enhancement talent. It was a really good promo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Britt did great promos this whole week. Her one on Dynamite was so funny, I thought, where she was like, rankings, those don't matter. Wins, losses, it should be based on star power, team shirt sales, ratings, and the demographic. It was just like the t-shirt sales especially. I was just like cracking up. Like,
I do love that, especially because it's like it does seem like Twitter is still going through it about like the fact that the Lights Out match was unsanctioned, so Thunder Rosa's win doesn't count. They're just getting in a lot of arguments about it, which are pretty funny because I like don't really understand the degree. Like, I knew that marks was a thing. Like, I know that wrestlers are talking a lot about like, oh, that's a mark, like, but I don't understand the way that people are responding to wrestling a lot of the time.
Yeah,
I don't get the sanctioned unsanctioned stuff really at all, because it's all on my television during a television show that's always like tight 2 hours, so like
I just see it on my TV and then it leaves my brain completely.
Oh, I love to pretend this is sports.
Yeah, but I thought Britt did a really great job. I thought who was it? Alex Gracia? Is that how you say it?
Sure. I think maybe. She her gear at the very first time I saw her, I was like, do I like that? But every time I see her, I like it more.
I think she's so cute, and I think she's a hunk, and I think Britt's a hunk. I mean, your joke at the beginning of the segment was really good. That's all I'll say about that.
Still not over it.
SFW. Yeah, so that was good. We also had a lot of action from the Dark Order this week. Kind of like all over the map. So what's
they really are in every single AEW property now.
I know they are, and they're it's like because there are so many of them, there is a real like kind of swarm vibe. They're just swarming the properties.
It's true. When they come out, it really is like, wow, there's a lot of people on this stage. Like,
and poor John Silver with his hurt shoulder doing his tiny claw was making me laugh so hard.
Well, he actually can't lift that hand up so much because of the baby. And that's what you don't know.
That's right. We learned this week that he's pregnant. Yeah.
We learned he's pregnant.
Yeah, and Ten's the father, so that's
I love that. They all seemed really happy about it, too.
Yeah.
I think we saw a forbidden picture of what's under Ten's mask a couple weeks ago, and we're all shocked that he's a little bit of a hunk.
Well, he's hot.
Oh, I did see that picture. Yeah. He was hot.
Why is he hiding his light under a bushel? That's what we want to know.
I honestly.
I have to
mask with that.
Kind of admit that because so much, like, the Dark Order was getting up to so much this week, I was rewatching some segments so I could discuss them intelligently on this program. And I learned something that I guess I'd been hiding from myself, which is that, as you know, I love to say wrestling is a game of identifying men. I love the Dark Order, so I thought I knew the men, but I don't know any of them. And I, like, couldn't even, by comparing photos of them, like, tell them apart or, like, connect. I was like, who did that on BTE? I'm just googling pictures of like Alex Reynolds. I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell a lot of them.
Really? Alex Reynolds?
I'm sorry to say I cannot. Well, wow. Alex Reynolds.
You know Colt though, right?
Of course I know Colt.
And you know John Silver, right? So that's two.
Yeah. Wow, this is Alex. When a mom is talking her toddler through. You actually know a lot of numbers.
You know a lot.
I think the issue.
Many of the men.
I think the issue is.
It's 10 and 5.
I was just going to say, you just don't know the difference between 10 and 5, which none of us do, really.
No, except 5 they bully and 10 is handsome.
Is Alex Reynolds the one who announced that John Silver is pregnant?
Yes, I think
so. He's John Silver's tag partner. So.
Yes.
I think
you know some men.
But I think he said it. Yeah. And it was 5 with the shrimp, with whose shrimp dick got crushed.
But what is the name of 5?
Alan Angels.
Alan Angels. Yeah. Okay. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
It's the multiple name thing that's also
which is hard because
it's like I shouldn't have to learn two. Well, yeah, but like I shouldn't have to learn two wrestle names for them as well as like whatever shoot name.
To be fair,
limit.
Yeah, to be fair, though, I don't think the Dark Order expects you to know Alan Angels.
I have to know that name. I can't call him Five. I have to call him by his.
You gotta call him Five. He's Five.
His God-given name.
His name that he gave himself.
You know, the funny thing is, like, with the shrimp dick thing, is that, like, the Dark Order also makes lots of little, like, penis jokes, but it's such a different vibe than the Good Brothers vibe. Yeah. It's, like, such a little joyful, like, fun thing, whereas the Good Brothers, I'm always just like, oh, are you doing this again? Like, it's so boring and stupid.
Honestly, I've loved that Carl Anderson has started doing, like, trigger warnings. Because I'm just like, oh, fantastic. I am going to skip this.
I certainly did skip it.
It annoys me because I'm like, if you know it's bad, stop doing it.
Right.
But
Yeah.
But at least you can skip forward.
Yeah. I will say that Shrimp Dick has not been like my top bit of all time.
No.
But I like that, for sure. You know, I like that they're enjoying themselves. I like they're happy. I like that Ty Conti was there on their segment.
Yeah.
I have really gotten into her now.
I hope she stays when really Anna Jay comes back. Because
we can have
I hope
two
it's not
women.
Like a weenie,
right?
Like let's have two whole women in this group. Like it's not just you lost one woman, so put a different woman in here.
No, and I want like her and Sheeta and Anna Jay to like just be little friends,
Yeah,
buddies.
Love it.
It is so nice. I feel like such a like dance mom every time Sheeta comes out for like one of those Ty Conti matches and is like just helping out, and it's like really is like Sheeta has a friend.
she loves it. And she looks
so happy
about it.
Not what dance moms are concerned with, really. I'm like the opposite. No. I'm a bad dance mom. The other dance moms are like, my kid's not here to make friends, and I'm like, my Sheeta is.
I'm really worried that she didn't have friends for a while, but now she does.
That's important. Yeah. But the Ty and the Bunny match was good. The Bunny is insane. I mean, I think it's pretty good, you know, work.
Yeah.
Character work.
Yeah. She's definitely doing something different than any of the other women are doing, which is great. But
she's
also
bringing an intensity to the
very alarming to watch. Yeah.
Absolutely. She has one of the most carrying voices in all of AEW.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of
times
you
could really hear her
you
screaming
can really
at the
hear
desk.
Her.
Like you could make out all the words and like that is not true when people are not mic'd.
I know. And usually when they're doing like when they and just anyone is doing their matches, you can't hear most of the promo stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
Even like to each other in the ring. You can hear everything she's up to.
Yeah, it's impressive. And I do like she's not overly, like, the screaming and deranged stuff is, like, not overly concerned with being sexy, which I always really like when, like, one of the women wrestlers is doing it. It's, like, why I like Abaddon, because she's just, like, being disgusting, and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, even though, obviously, like, the Bunny is also very attractive.
So. She is sexy. I have to she's not my type, but objectively I can say yes, that is a sexy woman. I agree. I like it when they're not concerned about it. Obviously that was like the thing that was so great about the Lights Out match was that they were just bleeding and wrecking each other and didn't seem that worried about their angles, which is great. But I think actually overall at AEW I would say that about most of the women I'm like I really like I think you're going for it and you know
they want to be tough more than they want to
be
sexy
tough.
Which I like
and then we also had a little sit down with John Silver on Elevation, so I guess that's going to be a new segment.
I called it Showcase, and it
showcase.
Was like, which
like
I did like, and it was sort of like, I didn't even put that together until just now, so thank you.
Thinking with my finger.
Yeah. And it was like not pure, it didn't feel purely kayfabe, that interview. It was like a little interesting, which I like.
Yeah. I don't know that John Silver necessarily was somebody that I needed to hear more from, considering that I hear from him on every single one.
I know.
But he gets a lot of FaceTime.
He gets a lot of airtime,
I love him, but I think that in general, I like the theory of this, because I like there are wrestlers that don't get a lot of time that I'd be thrilled to see sit down.
Yeah.
And I was happy to hear more about his injury, because I was pretty concerned when he got like thrown over the barricade, and it was like, I don't think that was supposed to happen. The camera angle is like real weird right now.
No. Yeah. It is sometimes just in the middle of watching wrestling, I will like remember that it's happening for real and get really freaked out all of a sudden where I'm like, someone is about to die on TV in front of me, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
But they haven't yet, so that's good.
No, I appreciate that about them. So, yeah, and Paul White is very earnest, but this week I was much more like, oh, like Paul White. And I was like, oh no, the Stockholm, it came for me too.
You know, it can get you into anyone. And I love my golf dad, Paul White, actually. And I love it. He and Tony Schiavone.
He feels very vulnerable. Like, yeah. Just out there being earnest. It's like, I want to protect him.
I still think his commentary is terrible, but I am doing a thing where when I see his face, I am like, that's such an improbably large man, and I love to look.
I like when they show him and Tony at the commentary table, because he's always like grinning at the camera really big when they do those moments.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh,
you're so, yeah, you're so happy to be there. That's nice.
I was cracking up. So on either Dark or Elevation, don't remember which, Max Caster wrestled Colt Cabana. Was that Elevation?
It was Elevation.
That was Elevation.
So, or as Hangman called it, AEW's Dark Elevator, which I thought was very funny.
They make the jokes.
Funny boys.
I thought that was a really fun match in the first place because of some of the context that we can get into. But at one point, like, Tony Schiavone had made this comment. Or no, it was that, so Max Caster did his little diss rap. Which, unfortunately, he's Stockholming me into loving his diss raps. So
well, that was, like, a really good one, because he really got into, like, your podcast sucks and your comedy sucks, which, unfortunately, Colt is fairly mockable, I think, even though I love him.
He absolutely is. He's a pretty goofy boy. And, yeah, so he said, your podcast sucks, and then he ended with that very funny delivery of, your podcast sucks, called, I tried to listen, I tried. Which I was like, this is actually kind of like, it's like kind of like you want to be friends with him. You're like, sorry, man. But then later in the match, Tony Schiavone was just like, and Colt actually had the first wrestling podcast, and that's why Max Caster brought up his podcast. Tony, I love fun facts with Tony Schiavone, who's just like, and actually.
I didn't know that Colt's podcast was the first wrestling podcast. That is a good fun fact.
I've heard that before, too.
I haven't fact-checked it.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too, though.
We'll take Tony Schiavone.
He does have a lot of episodes, so that adds up. that makes sense. But I thought that was a really fun match. And that was, Colt had done that thing. I love, AEW is for moms and dads. Colt had done that thing where he did a little, like, promo with his mom, where his mom was writing a diss track about Max Caster for him. And that did endear me to Colt more than actually anything else. He looked so, like, he loved his mom so much.
He thought she was so funny, and, like, yeah, he was having a good time, which is very cute. It's like, everyone really should get just their parents out there to, like, do some stuff. It really makes you like them more.
it definitely does. Max Caster this week also released a Hangman diss track that unfortunately has been stuck in my head all day. Just on a loop.
I had Judas stuck in my head all day today, and I went and listened to the diss track again to try it once you said it was stuck in your head to see if it could, like, get Judas out, and it did, so that was effective.
It's in there. Although now that I've said it's stuck in there, I'm like, I don't remember it anymore. But trust me, I'm saying it to myself.
It was, like, real mean. I felt like it was quite a brutal little diss track of, like, nobody likes you, all your friends hate you. Like, just really pushing on some sore spots.
For sure. Then it was kind of flirty, too. Because it was like, call the Acclaimed if you ever get lonely. I was like,
I mean, honestly, like,
friends. He wants to be friends, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe more. Yeah, Max Caster, I think, wants to be friends with Hangman and wants to be friends with Colt. Like, both diss tracks really, like, need a, I tried to listen to your podcast kind of effort.
Max Caster wants to join the Dark Order, maybe. I don't know if they're still recruiting these days.
Maybe he'd be happier in the Dark Order. I
feel like he's really trying to be mean, but I could see, like, a little narrative where they teach him to be nice and to make, like, nice poem tracks, like Colt's poem.
just like compliment tracks, really, before a match. Just like, you're such a good wrestler and you have a great body.
Man, I would love you. Great body. That's a good track. Let's take that one into the studio.
All right. As a side note, at one point, Tony Schiavone was like, and Max Caster's 31, Hangman's only 29. And I was like, excuse me?
That's crazy.
That does not track in any way.
It's crazy that Hangman's only 29.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Every time I see him, I just think about him being a high school teacher before he went, could make a living at pro wrestling. And it's just like, it's just not right. Like, all those little high schoolers having to sit there and look at this beautiful man and, like, not right. lose their minds. It's not it's healthy.
Not right. I know. And it's like, it is that thing where everyone had that one teacher at their school. In our case, it was one of our substitute teachers, where it's like, even as a high schooler, you were like, I don't think that, like, my classmates, like, it's not good for them to have this year.
Like, right, yeah. Our, actually, like, cool hot teacher was not nearly as cool or hot as Hangman either.
No, absolutely
not,
no.
There was an episode of BTE a while ago where Hangman talked about being a teacher, and he was like, if you were in my class and you want to come to a show, contact me and I'll get you a ticket. And then he looked in the camera and was like, except detente, you can fuck off.
Okay, that's very funny. But also, the cool hot teacher at my school had a band, and kids would go, like, the kids with crushes on him would go to his band shows, and it was real. It was on some lines. It was not appropriate.
Not okay. I'm sure. No. Yeah. I feel like that behavior is probably worse now that we have social media, so.
Yeah.
True. Or maybe not. I don't know. Well,
I don't know. It was bad then, and it's bad now.
Of course it was bad, and it's bad. You know, we don't have to get into it any deeper. You're right. We have to move on.
Allie's like, I think it's fine, but let's move on.
No, I don't think it's fine. I said it wasn't fine.
You know, I just want to say, for the official stance of the podcast is not Allie's stance that it's fine.
This is the kind of funny joke that could ruin a person's life. Me. I don't think that anyone should go to their teacher shows in high school. I don't think you should ever interact with your teachers in high school except in class. Okay.
Great. I'm so glad we've released an official statement. Now we can move on.
The people were wondering.
Anyway, setting that aside, I'll just say one last thing, which is that I did like Max Caster's really sexually inappropriate little rap at the beginning of his match with Hangman, and I like that he almost said blow me on TNT.
I liked the outrage in Anthony Bowen's face. He was like, you can't say that on TNT.
They say a lot of things on TNT that I feel like they really shouldn't be saying. So it's
interesting
where the lines are.
They're not always doing the bleeping that I feel like they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Okay. Well, we also had a frankly deranged promo.
Yeah.
On,
speaking of inappropriate things.
Speaking of
Chris Jericho gave a promo this week.
Yeah, no, go ahead and explain, and then I'll jump in.
Oh, yeah, he just gave a promo where he called MDF my jerk-off friend approximately 300 times. Yeah.
After the third time, I was like, okay, like, one time, I guess maybe you could kind of get away with it. Like, that's a cheeky little fun on TNT. After time three, when I was like, oh, we're really doing this, I was like, I don't know if you can say this. And I don't think it means what you think it means. Like,
yeah, there was also a part
You can say he's such a jerk-off, and that's one thing, but my jerk-off friend has different implications.
Yeah. And there was also a part where he was like, I get it. He's 25. He's young. He's charismatic. He has a great personality. He's great at wrestling. But my jerk-off friend, and I was like, okay, you're in love with your jerk-off friend, and I don't love it.
There's a lot going on here.
Chris, please.
I know. I feel like after the third or fourth time, that's when my friend Jeff, who's like not a pervert like us, I assume, and I don't know what he gets up to in his spare time, but he texted me to be like, he keeps saying jerk off friend, and I don't think it's coming across like he's wanting it to. I was like, I know. Pretty.
Also, go ahead, finish your thought. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I spent the entire promo being like, what is this making me think of? And then I really amused myself today by being like, oh, my brilliant friend by Elena Ferrante. And now I just am living in a world where I'm like, and Chris Jericho is going to write a beautiful literary novel about his friendship and the ups and downs that he's had with MJF.
I bet Chris Jericho's a big Elena Ferrante fan.
Yeah. From all I know about him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the type.
Well, also, as we discussed last week, they have officially become faces. They came out.
That was
out
crazy.
Of, yeah, they came so out they, of the face tunnel, and I then he officially apologized.
I didn't notice the tunnel, yeah. And I, like, went back and watched because you said they did, and I was like, did they? But they were actually zoomed in so close that, like, you had to pay really close attention yeah. to see what tunnel.
I guess
so,
you saw that,
to you, but...
not to bring him up, but I guess you saw that Mike Tyson came out the face
yeah,
tunnel.
But before...
Right? Which I'm like,
that's
not right.
Right.
That's
but before that...
Do these tunnels have no meaning?
I know. Come take on. These tunnels seriously. Come on.
Just anyone can come out of any tunnel, I guess.
But
it is very weird because, like, oh, sorry, go ahead, Leah.
No, just that in the beginning of his promos, he was like, I know that we've been badly behaved for 6 months, but it was all MJF's fault, and we're nice now. And I was like, I think that you were heels long before MJF.
Yeah. So we haven't watched that long, but like. Heel, like, if you're a face, you have to get people to like you. And is that something that Chris Jericho is, like, capable
Well, he has
of?
Made us all horny for him for the past 2 weeks, so I don't know, maybe.
I don't think I've signed on to that yet.
You actually have, Anne, so I've heard you say things, probably. What, can't remember,
probably.
But I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Check the tape, right.
I won't. I'm sure you said them.
I laughed politely while you talked about your teal shirt Chris Jericho moments. And
I'm not shamed. I'm fearlessly horny.
That's not me. Hey, guys, know, again, that's not me.
I'm fearlessly horny, and I don't care who hears it.
Oh, okay, come for the crown. yeah, I don't buy it. And I think it's like, not to sound like I'm like, well, they're going to have to do some community service before I believe that. But I am kind of like, yeah, okay, well, pet a puppy or two at least. Like, show me you being nice for 5 seconds.
Well, it's like, would you trust them to do anything? Like,
no.
To be, no, of course not. Like, because they're not faces.
I wouldn't even trust them to, like, show up and do, like, a crime that I hired them to do.
You
know what
no,
I mean?
For sure.
I don't
right,
trust
yeah.
them to be, like,
no.
well-behaved bad guys even.
Right, like, yeah, it's a real no honor among thieves kind of situation. And that's like where, like, them fighting with MJF, it was like, yeah, if you have like a group of robbers and then they start fighting amongst each other, it's not like half the robbers are now cops. Like, they're not, they're still
no,
robbers.
They're still robbers. I love wow, this is like a logic problem where it's like a clever way that, like, suddenly a robber is just like, actually, because I fought him, I'm a cop now.
Cop now. That's all it takes.
Well, cops and robbers both bad, so let's think on that.
They are both bad, so maybe I know. The metaphor falls
it's
apart
hard,
eventually.
You know,
well,
you,
we've been canceled.
When you grew up with some easy little metaphors you could use, and then you have to confront the fact that they don't work, that's rough.
You know, it's more a metaphorical cop than an actual cop. It's the cops and robbers of the childhood game, not the
it's
real
just
world.
Like a good person versus a bad person.
That's right. If you had two bad people. Well, now we're just saying things.
Well,
I guess metaphors are for cowards.
Our worst episode yet. Anyway, and then Dynamite also culminated in a little turn that I think some of us did see coming, but we can have a conversation about whether we think it worked or not. So,
main event.
The showstopper.
The showstopper of this week.
Yes, as the showstopper, Matt and Nick Jackson rejoined the ranks of the old Bullet Club and are back in with their bad boyfriend, Kenny Omega, and his horrible cock joke friends.
Really his unpleasant.
His jerk-off friends.
Yes.
That's right.
And we are using that correctly.
We are, yes, because it's all they talk about.
Yeah, and it was very dramatic because I was expecting them to do that, but the way it happened I thought was very unexpected because I did not expect Matt Jackson to suddenly in the ring not be able to attack.
Yeah, I thought that was like really meaning, like I thought it was like moving, honestly. I thought it worked. Yeah. I mean, I am like an easy target. I am willing at any moment to be
a mark,
emotionally.
If you will.
Yeah, no, I'm a mark. I'm ready to be emotionally manipulated at any moment, but like I did see that coming, but I thought it was going to be like a surprise where all of a sudden Matt was going to like rip off his mask and be like, ha, 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 I'm evil Matt. But like the whole thing where he was like, are you okay? And like crouched over Kenny's body. I was like, Oh.
I didn't expect it to be like Matt's genuine emotional feelings for ex-best friend Kenny meant that he couldn't. And it's really funny too, because it's like, I don't feel like matches, like it's one thing when they attack each other after the match, like that's personal, but like matches aren't necessarily personal. Like you can kick people in the face and still be friends with them, right? Like in an official match. So it was real. Yeah. And it went on for quite a while. Poor Moxley was like, what the hell?
I know. Well, I will say I love that it's like John Moxley in his just his usual manner came to fight like a happy bulldog, was just like, I'm so fucking pumped to be out here doing damage. For me, it's not even personal at all. I'm just here to have a good time.
He's at the dog park. He's ready to run.
And then slowly he's just like, my teammates aren't doing shit. Like, get him, guys. We're having a great time. They're not doing anything.
You can pin him. What?
You can pin him. Please, please.
Matt's just staring at him.
The really condescending way that Moxley picked up Kenny Omega and was like, this is how you beat the shit out of somebody. It was so funny.
Like, maybe they've just forgotten how to wrestle. Guys. Look.
Yeah.
And then, I know. And then it was very, Don Callis was great on commentary again. I really loved the animosity.
Yeah.
There was one point when he's like, Excalibur or someone said, Don Callis, please get your hand off my back.
Like mid-sentence was just people saying something else. And I do like, it's because you don't get to see it, and I kind of wish you did, that Don Callis is just like skulking around, sneaking up on the commentary table. Very good mental image. They did just a good job of conveying that. Yeah.
And his taunting of Matt at the beginning, too, with the, like, I slapped you last week and I'll slap you again.
I know. And we got a replay of the slap in a couple of, I think we got one, like, in BTE, maybe, and in at the beginning of Dynamite this week. So it's like they were really going ham on that. On the slap heard round the world.
Yeah. They were very proud of that.
I know. And they should have been. It was cinematic to me, personally. We also saw, it's like Matt and Nick, there was some more setup on BTE of them just kind of like looking in mirrors and like being like, I was a kind of like, you know, like going down to the river and like you're looking at yourself and then you drop a rock in your face and it's like, what have I become? Like the ripples. Just some idea. I wish I was mirrors on the Brandon Cutler, get me in there. I could have gone a little further with this actually.
Yeah, right. The mirrors were, that was very amateur hour there, really.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was super
idiot
funny.
Idiot Brandon Cutler.
Them.
Which, speaking of Brandon Cutler, it was very ridiculous that he posted to Instagram and was
so
like, how did this happen?
What?
Like, Brandon Cutler, you goaded them into this.
His
personally.
Instagram post is just the funniest picture. Like, I wish we could beam it across with our voices, but it's just the funniest picture of, like, he's looking kind of, like, confused. And the Young Bucks, it was, like, during their trios match, and the Young Bucks are making the funniest faces, and then his caption is just in ellipses. I was like, Brandon, you basically told them to turn heel. You told them that they weren't cool now that they were nice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
You caused this.
Yeah. Brandon was like, bully me. And they were like, okay, I guess. Okay. And then Brandon was like, what?
I didn't think you guys would listen.
No one's ever listened to Brandon Cutler before.
Know, which actually this does, now that we're saying it, I'm like, it is the right characterization of Brandon Cutler, I guess.
He's doing like, some great character work. Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, and I like, too, that Eddie ran out at the end to try to rescue Mox. Of course, he was vastly outnumbered and did not effectively rescue Mox.
I know, still
Mox
in his little,
Bucks, but
I don't know what he's in, like a cast or something.
Yeah, and somebody on Reddit captured, I wish that they had actually put this on Dynamite because I would have laughed, but somebody on Reddit captured, apparently Eddie, after the camera stopped rolling, grabbed the mic and kept talking, and he's lurching around the ring in his cast yelling, you stupid fucks!
The lurching is very funny. He just looks like not tough at all.
No.
Like,
no.
Wasn't he old? And then he was shouting something like, Moxley's not dead yet or something. When it's like, John Moxley also is standing there in much better condition than Eddie, just like, yes, I am not dead.
Moxley's face was so funny because he was leaning against like a turnbuckle and was like, just looked bored and was like the kind of vibe where he's like, I really want to leave this party and I can't. My wife keeps saying goodbye to every single person.
Renee,
and I
come
need
on.
To go.
Renee.
He's holding Renee's purse. The car is running. He's ready to fucking go. But And meanwhile, Eddie is lurching around so hard that at one point he gets so excited that he falls over. It's like, God, I wish that had been on Dynamite because it was so funny.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Really should have gotten it in there. I think Leah, you pointed out that people are complaining that the Elite storyline is like too referential of New Japan stuff.
Yeah. I've been seeing,
and I have seen people saying that like new people won't be able to follow this, but it's like as some new people who don't know anything, I feel like they're overestimating how accessible the rest of wrestling is. Because like I felt much more clueless when like Sting walks out and I'm like, I have no idea who this man is. Whereas like I can follow this like Elite storyline. It's like they used to be friends and now they're not, and then they are.
Yeah, I agree.
I've seen the teen soap.
I know. It makes sense to me that it's like, maybe if you know stuff about New Japan, there are nuances to what's going on that I'm not catching. Yeah, although I guess I actually don't feel that confident about that either. But I will say it's like,
hypothetically possible. Yeah.
The gist of it is making sense. And you are right. It's like there was some comment that one of our friends found on Reddit or something where they were being like, it's just crazy that like it's like that Matt and Nick can't decide like if they want to like be on Kenny's team or not. First they are, then they are, then they are, then they are. I was just like, yeah, it's like watching the OC, like get with it. Yeah, of course. It's
sometimes
like
people have
Ryan
very...
keep getting together and breaking up and getting together and breaking up.
Sometimes people have dramatic personal lives and that's what we're watching television for.
It's called representation. Look it up.
I feel like wrestling fans in a lot of ways are willing to accept that like wrestling is a soap opera, like the phrase that wrestling is a soap opera, but then when you get into it and you're like, yes, it has tropes that soap operas have and it has the same pitfalls that soap operas have, they're like, no, that's not right at all.
Yeah,
like,
not
no,
my wrestling.
It's the same. I have, as somebody who like got into, I don't really understand anything about New Japan. I'm having absolutely no problems. And so every single person I see on Reddit and Twitter that are like, if you don't know New Japan, you can't follow this. And I'm like, I've watched TV before. Please don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really like, it's not the least accessible thing for a new person at all. Like, it feels like if you don't like it, complain about it for yourself. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's like the stuff that is that we have even discussed on this show, like, is that emotional arc working or whatever, doesn't seem to be related to New Japan. Like, it's just normal, like, mid-30s men stuff of, like, do I miss being a mean young guy?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And, like, oh, these are Kenny's been his best friend for 12 years. It's like, well, they said that a bunch on the commentary desk, so, like, I don't need to have witnessed the 12 years of friendship in New Japan, you know? Like, I get it.
Right.
Yeah. I think with my brain, so that's fine.
12 years of friendship, check. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can move on from these bad boys of wrestling. I will say I'm excited to, you know, see where we're going with it.
Especially because the Young Bucks were still like a little bit reluctant at the end. It's like they don't want to beat up Kenny, but they don't want the Good Brothers giving them hugs. So.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I mean, they wouldn't do the two
sweet
gesture, and they only would do the hug, and you know.
Yeah, but poor Matt was clearly really going through it. It's like,
and Nick was there.
Nick is just like, he's like, I get it, like, you call the shots, Matt, but I wish you could just call one shot, okay? We just need one shot, buddy.
I thought we were teaming up with Moxley, but if you don't want to, like, we don't have to, just make up your mind. Yeah.
Okay, and then we had one more exciting event during Dynamite, which was a little surprise appearance by our favorite boys.
And now we have to change that. And we can't call them our sons.
Alien.
Yeah, they're our children now. Now we have
our favorite boys and girls.
Yeah. I was really trying to find a little...
It's Orange Cassidy, best friends, and Chris Statlander.
I'm like, guys, come on. You know this already. You know this. I was trying to like think of something fun to call them collectively because I... Boys and Alien isn't that good, but Boys and Girl isn't that good. Not interesting to talk about, really. Well, I'll keep working on it. That's more of a behind-the-scenes me project, I guess.
I think the commentators were just calling them best friends as a group, which is a little bit like, well...
Come on.
Not really, but okay.
I do like that it's like Tony Khan shelled out that big money for Where Is My Mind? And now that he's just like, and that's gonna work for all of you, I think.
Oh yeah, gonna get our money's worth on all four of you. Yeah. I got so pumped because I didn't think they were, you know, gonna be on this episode at all. And then when the music started playing with Pack out there and the Death Triangle out there, I like was like, what? Yeah. And got so excited. And yeah. It's just like,
yeah,
that music is working for me.
Quick aside about the intro. I think last week we asserted that they had inserted the alien into the intro to signify Chris. Apparently that has always been there. That was not new. That was really always old. There. According to Chuck's... according to Chuck's Twitter, he was like, that's been there since we started using that intro video. And was like, oh, cool.
This is gonna be like when our friend was like, you can see on the TV when they're live. It's just like, I can't.
Notice things on the TV.
I don't really try my hardest, these. But
these eyes. I'm juggling a lot while Dynamite is happening.
But I was so happy.
I'm so excited that they're done with Miro too. Like, not that the Miro feud was good. It had a great payoff, but it went on for so long and they're only allowed to.
Am I thrilled for Miro to move on and
sexually also deserves it.
Other people? Yes, of course.
Of course. And of course we all want to see him sexually menace many people.
He won the feud in the sense that I am going to watch whatever he does next with interest.
True. Yeah. So that really worked as a getting us on board situation. Yeah, but so excited for them to get back to like fighting Pack and having like a flashback to like over a year ago and Orange Cassidy talking first when they came out there.
I know. Shocking. So very funny exciting. To me when he does that little slow voice. And it's like, I don't think it quite works really. In my opinion, I'm like, it doesn't really add up. But I love that it's like the compromise you've had to come up with where you're like, I don't know how this character would talk really. Because he doesn't.
And we know from watching him on Critical Botch that it is very affected. Like, that's not his voice in any way.
No.
His real voice is much more higher pitched and really high energy, like a little chihuahua.
I know. but very funny that he put on that little voice. Very interested to see them re-pick up this Death Triangle feud.
Yeah, the Death Triangle feud was before we started watching. So, I mean, I wish Dynamite was, like, easily accessible, like old episodes were easily like accessible online, and because I would love to like relive it. Okay, well, legally accessible.
That's a better way of putting it. Yeah.
Again, this pod does not support teacher-student relationships, and we don't support pirating.
I don't think we need it to come back to it.
I'm just clarifying that we've taken
that's
two
stands.
That's called
comedy, Allie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm sorry I don't want us to get canceled. So sorry.
No, it was good because, like, I feel like also I knew that he, like, Orange Cassidy had a thing with Pac, like, that was his first big match and stuff, but I, like, had no idea who Death Triangle was when I learned that, and so I didn't really know that they were involved, so it was fun to see the little clips of them biting Orange Cassidy's ear, which is very normal and very cool.
So much biting in wrestling, which is, like, the one thing that I really feel like I didn't see it coming. I'm not sure that you should be doing it, but I don't mind watching it, but questionable to me.
It's very visceral. Yeah.
Like, I guess they are just all fluid bonded anyway, but it feels a little too intimate.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Sorry you don't like my favorite phrase.
Oh boy.
Okay, well, anyone have any other highlights from the week they want to hit on?
All right, this is a little bit of a Chris Jericho teal shirt thing, but I loved J.D. Drake's new gear. I thought he looked fantastic. And as I was watching him, I thought to myself, am I weak-willed? Do I have any, like, when I watch a man several times a week, suddenly I think, do I love that man? I don't know.
And it turns out it is just basic psychology. They're there on our TVs, so we unfortunately love them all now.
It's real interesting because I feel like also like I hadn't realized, like I knew, like I love Trent. I had missed him while he was gone, but now that he's back, I'm like, I miss Trent so much. Like I'm having a real like emotional response to it. And it is just like some intense bonding to, people you see all the time. And now that the Inner Circle's back too, I'm like feeling like I'm so glad to see them again. And it's just, it's weird because I'm not
I agree that also with Inner Circle, I was like, I didn't think I liked these men, but I now I love that they're back on my TV, unfortunately.
And maybe it's just that it's like I recognize them, because there's always like a fair amount of stuff of people I don't recognize on the TV. So it's just like,
I've definitely done a little substitution thing where I'm just like, I like that guy. And I'm like, no, you know that guy's name. And that's not right. The same thing.
You're just excited that you recognize someone. It's not an emotional connection.
It's really like, I like me. For what I knew.
Right, yeah. And again, it's New Japan that's the problem with wrestling.
I also liked this week Sting's little bit with Lance Archer and Jake the Snake. A name I had to learn this week. All my friends knew it. It turned out it was really embarrassing for me. I said, who's that man? Everyone knew the man's name. That's fun.
I didn't confess this at the time, but I didn't know that that was Jake the Snake either. I knew that Jake the Snake was a person, and I think I might have seen that old man before, but I could not have identified
him. And I would have liked a little solidarity in the moment.
I know. And I knew it at the time.
But you didn't.
Okay. No, I didn't.
Well, this is a, we'll save this for
you were getting really piled on, and I didn't want to jump underneath it.
So. You didn't want to get under the pile. Okay. Well, again, we'll discuss this later. But I thought that was a really funny bit. I liked Lance Archer just getting so mad, and then Sting just being a full dad and just being like, you do have worth. You're a good wrestler. You deserve good things.
I agree with you. Yeah, it was that was like a real weird, like, I liked it, but didn't expect it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and I'm curious because this thread has just really been dropped, but is Shaquille O'Neal still lost in Daly's place is the question that I keep wondering. I assume he's just hiding somewhere.
I hope he's coming out only to destroy Mike Tyson. And
that would be great. Yeah, I did not understand why Mike Tyson was on my screen. I didn't care for it.
No,
I guess he's been there before. We weren't here yet. We had to see him this time. Didn't care for him.
He does seem affiliated with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho.
I know. They seemed fond of each other.
I know. Has some bad opinions.
I know.
Chris Jericho likes to give money to bad people.
But he's just so hunky. Am I right? We all agree.
He does look a lot better with a beard than without. So.
Okay. Well, put Anne on the list of Chris Jericho.
Oh, sure. That counts. Yeah.
Hell yes. As I said, we're all in it together.
Drag down with you.
I also liked the Seidel's.
Seidel.
I liked the Seidel little promo this week, like mostly because, again, didn't recognize either man. And I have seen them before, at least one of them. But I was just.
I know I've seen them
men.
Before and I've heard their names many times, but I could not have picked them out of a lineup for sure. It was just like, oh, these are some white men that look like they wrestle, I guess.
because they're on my wrestling show, they must.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If they were on TV at some other time, I would not necessarily have known. Yeah. No.
If you showed me the Seidel's faces and TH2's faces without their gear, I don't think I could tell any of the four of them apart because they're all.
TH2. I don't even know who that is.
the ones that look like highlighters? They're like the Gumby bodies.
And... Oh, Italian.
Yeah, Angelico. Yeah. Angelico and Jack Evans.
Mr. Italy. Well,
I feel like I could recognize the tall, skinny one of them, maybe. But yeah, if it was just all their faces, I certainly couldn't tell any of them apart.
Well, the one thing I was going to say that I was kind of laughing at in the Seidel's little promo was they're really leaning on the fact that it's like, we're brothers and like, we stick together. And when you mess with one brother, you mess with another. Like, they're kind of like making it like a real thing. And I just started counting up how many brother pairs there are at AEW. And it's so many. It's the Jacksons, the Seidel's, the Guns, Top Flight, the Lucha Brothers. I could be missing some.
You could. So Rhodes kind of, and Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, God, the Rhodes is...
And so, they entered a sister pair on Darker Elevation, and I'm only mentioning this because it their team name is the Sea Stars, and I did not understand the play on words until one of the commentators said it fast and went Sea Stars.
I don't think I get it yet.
Sisters, say Sea Stars very fast in your head. It's sisters.
Oh, okay. Sure.
I don't want to say what I'm about to say, but...
Oh, no.
Literally, that hadn't occurred to me. I was just that excited about the idea that it was, like, in the sea.
lighted by everything, and that's what I love.
That's how I go through life, you know, because if I'm not laughing, I'm not happy.
That's right.
This pod is getting very long, so we should wrap up, but I just want to say that Team Taz, we have put Team Taz on the extras list for like 3 weeks in a row, and we have to just briefly say that their through line of Team Taz is okay, is doing actually completely fine, has been very funny, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, unfortunately, I keep kicking them into the extras because I don't, like, you haven't explained that to me at all, and I don't notice it most of the time. So I'm always like, that's cool. I don't know about that.
It is, it is very much a there was not a war in Bossing Se kind of thing where, like...
like, Brian Cage sits in the corner, like, with his arms crossed over his chest looking sullen, and Taz is like, nothing is wrong here. Yeah. Everyone is very happy to be here.
Was there an inciting incident?
Yeah, I think there was, like...
because Brian Cage, like, was nice to
Sting. And Ricky Starks got mad, and then Ricky Starks started poking Brian Cage, and Brian Cage was like... sniping back at him, and Taz pops out of nowhere and was like, we're actually doing fine and we're doing great and it's not a problem. And so on every, like, on commentary, on every, like, moment that they've been on TV, like, Taz, like, looks into the camera at some point and goes, and as I repeat, Team Taz is totally fine.
Taz is doing fine. Okay, well, I'll make it a point to catch up on some of those segments this week, and we'll put them at the top of the pod next week. Unless something really fun happens, in which case we won't.
In which case they'll get bumped again.
In which case they'll get bumped. And maybe they'll always get bumped. I don't know.
It's going to pay off at some point. I'm sure. Team Taz. You'll have your moment. They tried to get Christian Cage to join them, and I was a little bit like, is Team Taz really at the level of getting big guys? Because, like, when do they wrestle?
They're actually fine. So, yeah, I think they're at the level. I heard they're doing great. So,
I mean, sure. Maybe socially.
They're doing socially and wrestlingly great. Okay. It's got to stop. It's got to end. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Quirkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, I think, and via email. This is actually the one I didn't know. The Twitter I knew. And via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com.
That's perfect.
Please. Mm-hmm. Great. Really good work from me. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week or don't.
It's your call.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.